Mesa Mountain Crest, from canyons to the clouds and into the cosmos, we are pumping wattage high and low, plus streaming worldwide on the internet and keeping you company tonight. It's the place to relax and hang out. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, and this is Speaking of Strange, giving you the latest and discussing the weirdest. We have assembled the finest team of reporters and the most intriguing guests, and that's why we are your favorite hub in a wild, wild world. So keep it tuned right here. We have a fantastic guest for you this segment. It's a man who, well, he is controversial. He's mysterious. He was on the program before, several years ago. He is a remote viewer, a psychic, and he has proven his ability time and time again by, well, winning the lottery over and over and putting evidence on his many websites like theprophetictlight.com. And he even has a prediction we'll get into for who the next president of the United States will be. His name is Aaron C. Hansen. Aaron, welcome, sir, back to Speaking of Strange.
It's wonderful to be here, and what an amazing time to be living, especially here in the United States, which I believe is the hub of the world. The most exciting things are going to be happening here beginning in 2012.
Well, you see, I cannot wait to hear what you have to say about it, because I could not agree more. You know, I've been talking a lot on this program about this culmination of events. People are seeing weird lights all over the place. They're seeing UFOs. They're having more psychic experiences. Now we have this rash of people hearing booms and hums and these weird industrial sounds resonating through the skies. What the heck do you think is going on here, Aaron?
Oh, absolutely. I can't tell you, countless emails, countless numbers of people have reported very strange events. I believe that what we're seeing here is a kind of an awakening, but not the sort of thing where you have cosmic convergence or crystal-wielding nutters talking about harmony. This is a little more frightening. In fact, this is something that most people are not going to be able to handle, so they're going to be systematically turning this off. Whereas the rest of us in this brave new world, we're going to be grabbing hold of this and we're going to be exploring it head on. As we begin to explore our own brains and exactly what potential we have as individuals and collectively to discover what it is behind everything. Life gives us these little pieces of the puzzle and we put them together. And we are reaching a point of critical mass by which a large picture is being seen collectively. We're beginning to see it on a very, very large scale around the world. And so what I believe is happening is two things. One, we have to make a decision. We have to do it collectively. We have to make a decision. Are we going to go towards human extinction? Or are we going to go towards unity? Now, I believe, you know, if you're going to bet on something, if the human race remains asleep or resists this awakening, then they're going extinct. We're written off. But I would say if we're going to go down the current path that we are now, we're going extinct. Our planet is doomed. But you see, in 2012, we have all of the symbology. We have everything in our human history, all of our mythology, all of our past clues, pieces of the puzzle, have been coming together systematically. And as information systems, this is what we are. That's our purpose in life. We are beginning to amass a big picture, and this big picture is amazing. It's also frightening to those people who have certain belief systems, and they're just not going to let go of that. For example, we're speaking tonight about a messianic figure that's associated with a lot of visions that people are having concerning what I call the serpent, the winged serpent associated with a lot of lights in the sky and so on. And this particular idea is associated with something that I call the third beast. Now, this can be a good thing or a bad thing. Now, here's something that's really going to blow everyone's mind. You got something going on today, the fastest growing religion in the world. We know what that is. We see evidence of what's going on in the Middle East. We see, of course, the Arab Spring. We see the Muslim Brotherhood. We see, of course, this movement around the world towards one religion. And this messianic figure associated with that one religion is essentially the embodiment or something that transmits this information almost perfectly. Now, you also have sort of a monster from the id, a collective group of fears culminating into one thing. This would be something like a third century caliphate, a third century successor that will bring about a caliphate. Now, this caliphate, think about it, is something that every Muslim, everyone who worships Allah, everyone who reads the Quran, they all dream of returning to this time in which the caliphate is to return. Now, I believe that this messianic figure is the embodiment of all that we're projecting, both positively and negatively. And there's a saying that there could be this messianic figure rise up and go third century, which would be horrible. Or it could rise up and be moderate, which would be accepting. So if you look at a place like Morocco, this is an example of during its peak, not today, things have fallen apart. But during its peak, there was a great acceptance of all cultures, all religions. And that gave Morocco power and great prestige. This is the sort of future that we could have. Instead of being in disharmony, we could be in harmony with each other and celebrate the differences. So we now have a choice to make in 2012. Here in the United States, the hub of the world, we have to make a choice. What are we going to do for our future? Now, interestingly, I'm making a prediction about our next president. I began talking about this in January of 2012, and I remote viewed the next president of the United States, and that was President Mitt Romney. I also predicted, just shortly after the inauguration of President Obama, back in 2008, I said he would be a one-term president, and that's certainly going to be true. Not only is Mitt Romney going to get the nomination, he's going to be our next president. The question is, what kind of president is he going to be? I have a very good idea about this. And his role in all of this is planned. There isn't a real election. People think there is. For example, today's Newt Gingrich has set out, people think he might win. He's not going to win. I've been saying that from day one. He's comically inept. But think about it. What's his role in all of this grand illusion? We think that we have a choice. We don't. This grand illusion. His role is, for example, recently, we look at the bane of existence. He was actually criticizing Mitt Romney for his association with a free market principle, with a free market company, a market system that we all, as conservative people, look to and support. Why would a free market capitalist such as Gingrich use a company such as Bain Capital to criticize his opponent? Well, the idea is to vent this out now, because this is something that President Obama is going to be using to counter his opponent, Mitt Romney. And now that, you know, as I've always said, if you speak of something, you limit its outcome. And so, brilliantly, Newt Gingrich has vented this out early, preventing the outcome later on from damaging the position and momentum of Mitt Romney. So I think if you look at these patterns, you see that you don't really have a choice. This election process is a game rigged within the mind of so many predictable voters. That is of the past. 2012, this will change because more and more people are beginning to see what is behind everything. They're going to see the patterns. Patterns are everything. They're going to recognize these patterns, and they're going to act upon them and make their own decisions. if you are having access to psychic functioning, then you are better able to make decisions. Can you imagine a whole world of people have learned how to turn on their brains and use both prophetic functioning and psychic functioning to assist in better decision-making? This would make our world wonderful, something we've always wanted. It's all about information. It's all about making proper decisions. And with President Romney in the White House, not only is he going to scare the pants off of the North Koreans, especially Kim Jong-un, he's going to scare the pants out of these people during their breakdown. I believe that North Korea is on the verge of total collapse. It won't go into collapse because China is going to come in and support it. Its military will take over. Maybe it already has. I'm certain that it has fantastic influence at this point. But it's on the verge of total collapse. And China will come in to assist. And it's because of the strength of a President Mitt Romney that you will not see North Korea go crazy and make a bad move concerning the DMZ. So these are very important pieces of the puzzle that I see in the future, patterns that are very, very important that, of course, assist us in making better decisions. I believe that 2012 is a very, very important time for the awakening. I hate to use that word because it sounds so New Agey. I believe that 2012 is the death of this New Age movement, the death of falsehood, the death of cults and things that don't make any sense. For example, using frequencies to heal doesn't work. We're going to be entering the age of science and reason, as well as we're going to be exploring psychic functioning in a whole new way. This isn't just for me. This is for everyone listening. This is for everyone out there. And it's very, very exciting.
All right. Well,
the other thing, too, I wanted to point out today.
Well, I'll tell you what, look, let's go ahead and take our first break here and just hold it right there because it's fascinating to get your take on what's happening in the world. And when we come back, we'll not only pick up there, but also I want to talk about some of the work you've done recently applying this practically, working on a very prominent missing child case. Folks, I'm talking with Aaron C. Hansen, and he is a controversial man, a psychic, a remote viewer, and as you can hear, he has some very strong, clear ideas about what he thinks is going to happen this year and beyond. It's fascinating to think everything is changing this quickly. I'm Joshua P. Warren. We'll continue talking with Aaron Hansen here on Speaking of Strange right after this.
Stop.
The show where the unusual becomes usual. Speaking of Strange, I am your host, Joshua P. Warren. And if you visit speakingofstrange.com, you can join a live chat during the show, find more information on topics discussed, find links to a lot of the cool stuff we're involved with, like the haunted Asheville ghost tours, the Asheville Mystery Museum, HauntedAsheville.com has got all that for you. In fact, we have a few investigations coming up soon. And I'm talking right now with Aaron C. Hansen, remote viewer, psychic, a guy who has really applied what he has in terms of his talent to some practical things. And before we continue, Aaron, one of your websites is theprophetictlight.com, and of course that'll be linked up there, P-R-O-P-H-E-T-I-C, theprophetictlight.com. Any other websites or ways that listeners can find you online?
There are many. You can go to Facebook or MySpace. You'll find me there at Aaron C. Hansen. Main thing is to go into TPL, theprophetictlight.com. There you get the updates on lottery and everything else, including my most recent secret weapons program within Iran, Beta, which I've just remote viewed for your show. But concerning your previous call out for the missing child data, if you go to TPL, you will also see exactly how remote viewing works and how it begins with your stage three and beyond. I have a pretty good demonstration there of how I found a missing child in India. And what's very interesting is that I actually found this through triangulation. I did a similar thing in Japan by remote viewing a missing woman within Los Angeles. This is done on camera, television. And there was another challenge for me because, you know, this might seem unbelievable to a lot of people, but this is something that I want people out there, I want you all to know that you can do this. You can learn this. This isn't just about me. I'm very advanced. I've been doing this for years. I'm very good at it. I found the Holy Grail in remote viewing. I found a missing child. And by the way, she's home now. She's safe and very happy. And for reasons, because this is a minor, I do not want to give out her name. I don't want to give out too many details about this out of respect for the family. This is a very well-respected family, a royal family in India. So this is something we'd rather do our best to keep out of the media for obvious reasons. But in which case, it's been very difficult to keep this out of the media because I found a child. And this really is the Holy Grail. And the thing is, I've done this for free. There's no exploitation apart from what we falsely perceived here. I even hate to talk about this for that reason. Because as a remote viewer, we all have ethics. And this is one of the areas which is very, very touchy. And I wanted to simply display the data as an example to others, to give them inspiration, to show that what can be done. Because every day, there are missing children, there are missing innocent people that need your help. So there's only one of me. And there's so many cases. Most of them are done without, as I order, without any media, without any exploitation. When it comes to a missing child, it's done for free.
Right.
This has to be done that way. So we just had to clear that up concerning this because I feel very uncomfortable. A lot of the stuff's been censored out for good reasons. But what you see on my website is independently confirmed. This was all sent out before the child was found. In fact, you'll see detailed drawings and pictures to compare how remote viewing works. Basically, we're able to find information from sources outside of normal states of awareness. Essentially, what you think is kind of like an error. We are information systems. By the time you think something and present it and project it, it's wrong. But there's a workaround here. You can get closer to preconsciousness. You can get closer to this, to a perfect source of information that is not influenced by imagination or thought. So essentially it's like a ritual. It sends consciousness a bone to get it out of the way so the important things can happen. And the most important data that I really want to present today would have to be the data of Iran.
Yeah, let's hear that. What's going on in Iran?
Yeah. This is now it's going to get a little bit dark. Now, what really surprised me about this data is remote viewing always gives you surprises. I expected to find nuclear weapons. I expected to find enrichment. And by the way, there is an attempt to do this. There is enrichment. There is attempts to give us the illusion that Iran is looking into fissile material, looking to use it, perhaps in some future scenario. But the information that I have right now at this present time is they don't have it. They don't have the technology. They don't have the know-how. They're having serious problems getting there. And essentially, the Ayatollah himself has been conveniently outside of the loop on this situation. Iran has different factions within it. You have an association with Hezbollah and so on. The whole thing is, even with the Revolutionary Guard, there's a lot that the Ayatollah doesn't need to know. So when the Ayatollah says Iran does not have nuclear weapons, nor has it any intention to have them, he's not lying, because he hasn't looked too far into this. He doesn't need to. He hasn't been advised. Doesn't need to be advised. It's too scary. Now, so as far as nuclear weapons are concerned, yes, the intent is there. Yes, the work has begun. Remember, I cited the facility in Qom a few months before the U.S. intelligence. I actually posted the information online about this. A few months before U.S. intelligence had discovered this. I only recently found the actual date by which this was so. So I beat them. That's good. And although that's no reflection of how well-informed our intelligence agencies are, they are much more informed than I am. They have a vast amount of information they have to deal with. So I found that to be quite an accomplishment. But here's a better one. What I found was something so shocking, so surprising, that I have to report it. What I can. The rest of it is completely censored. It's way too controversial. I debated not posting this information online tonight, but I did so. And if you go to TPL, theprophetic light.com, and you click on data, and you go to the secret weapons program slash Iran, you'll see in the first picture something reminiscent of New York City. I believe that this is New York City. Shocking. What is this doing in my data? This is really disturbing, because we know New York's history. Remember, I was the guy, again, a few months prior to 9/11, I, in fact, with witnesses, Ed Dames, F.M. Bonsall, and the rest, they know. I predicted 9/11. Absolutely nailed it down. And so this is another one of these situations where we have to be very, very careful, and especially about my data, because I haven't properly interpreted this. This is brand new, fresh, out of my brain. This is all fresh stuff. So there are many, many more pages of work ahead of me to find out what is going on here. But what we see now is definitely New York City in the first sketch. The rest I cannot reveal. As far as the next picture down, we're looking at the very surprise, which was this is their secret weapons program that is going on right now. This is the immediate threat, the immediate problem. It's something that has existed since the time of the war between Iraq and Iran with Saddam Hussein. This has to do with biological weapons. Now, what I'm suggesting here is the possibility of Marburg. Now, that these are filoviruses. These are bad boys. I'm suggesting that they probably have something like smallpox. And the most disturbing thing of all. Now, folks, I want you to think about this, and think about it carefully. What would happen if somebody were to manipulate, I'm talking about making this thing far more virulent, making it airborne, H5N1, bird flu. I mean, we know what it did in 1918. Now, most virologists would say, you know, the H5 is an issue, but not if you change it. Not if you do that. We know what happened in 1918. It could happen again. Now, why would Iran subject its own people to this as well as the world? In case it wanted to do it, I guess you might guess by proxy, or simply it might do it in such a way that is covert.
All right.
Why would they do that? Because okay. It's certainly not a weapon that could be used in the battlefield, although
We're going to have to go ahead and take another break here, Aaron. We're already up on another break. When we come back, let's talk a little bit more about that. And then also, I want to get some of your input on what's happening with the economy, given your background with, well, the lottery. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's Speaking of Strange. Speaking of Strange, and I am your host, Joshua P. Warren, talking right now with Aaron C. Hansen. He is a remote viewer. He is a psychic, and already you've heard him say that he's going on the record saying that Mitt Romney will be the next president of the United States. Also, he's alluding to an attack in New York with some kind of an airborne, you know, disease-causing contaminant. Maybe Iran is involved there. We've only got about 10 minutes before we've got to wrap up here, Aaron. Tell us more about ultimately what we should be concerned with, and also for all those people who are struggling right now financially, what advice can you give them about trying to improve their situation?
Oh, I love those two questions, and I'll make this quick. So maybe we don't have more time. Of course, you want to leave the table more hungry than you are too full, so we'll certainly do it that way. But concerning this very grim sort of scenario, I think it can be halted. And like I say, I've always said, you name something, you can limit the outcome. I believe that this data is very concerning, and it will be going into the appropriate circles, as my data has done in the past. And let me tell you, that we need to be alert, because there may be something associated with Iran. I'm not suggesting that Iran is directly involved. I don't know that yet. I just see of Iran's secret weapons program a biological component, and we haven't ruled out smallpox as well. There's a lot more work to be done, and I do know that that is New York City in my data. I don't know what that is doing there, but it is a concern. And I believe that it's showing us something that is a possibility. Somewhere, someone has the mindset, perhaps a terrorist, to attack a large metropolitan area within the United States with a poor man's atom bomb. Something horrible. You think about the mindset of, let's say, the Aum Shinrikyo cult in Japan. They were isolated with the way North Korea and Iran is isolated now. And they're desperate. Remember, they used sarin gas in form of bioterror. They had every intention of using biological components as well. They chose to use sarin gas, another category. So you have category A, category B, and category C levels of bioterror. And this cult was considering using all of these levels, anything that you could. They were going to throw it at the world. Now, to bring the end of the world, now you think about this whole idea of bringing back the Mahdi. Now, there are some people who believe that this is associated with the end of days. It's associated with a great calamity. And from chaos in this calamity rises a figurehead that unites the Muslim world and reinstates the caliphate within what I believe is called the New Persia. The only way that that could happen in this kind of world, it must change radically. And the only way in the mindset of these people, which is a cult mindset, is for chaos to happen. And the only way chaos can happen, it could be done through a virus that is genetically modified to become airborne.
That's very, very, very spooky. And it's realistic. I mean, we have the technology, and we're overdue for something like this. In the meantime, most people in our country, you know, right now, they're just struggling so much financially. In the next few minutes, tell us what advice you can give those people.
I don't want to bum anybody out, but here's my advice to you all, which is what I've been doing. Remember, I invested in gold as a remote viewer. I knew where to invest in the markets in 2007 to 2009. Recently, I've gotten out. I got out of gold because I felt it was a bubble. You can't eat gold, folks, but you can pay off your bills. You've got to pay your bills. You cannot have debt. I don't care what anybody says. You think you're going to write off debt? This new administration coming in here is very tight, fiscally responsible. You're going to see a whole different mindset with President Romney. You're going to have help, but in a whole different way. You're going to have to help yourself. You're going to have to tighten your belt, save, save, save. You're going to have to pinch your pennies and stop buying the things that you want. Change your mindset. Buy only the things you know that you are going to get a return on investment from. Be it food, buy food that's good for you. Don't buy food that is convenience. Stop that. Stop going to fast food places to fix your hunger. You're going to have to tighten your belts. This is the way you survive in the future. You're going to have to change your mindset. Know the difference between what you want and what you need. The basic needs of Maslow are threatened the world over. We in the United States are still rich. We have everything and every opportunity before us. If you're living in the United States, you are so blessed. This is the greatest country on earth, and you're going to see an emergence of a new mindset that will help you become independent. That's happening next. We have a lot of world problems coming up. They're not going to doom us. We're smart. We're innovative. We're going to get back on our feet, and we'll rise above this financial chaos that is coming before us. I believe that it'll peak out sometime around 2014.
Well,
I think, that's how bad it is, folks. So save, save, save. Know the difference between what you want and what you need. Change your mindset. Go without and make sure you assist your children. This is the most important thing you can do.
And at least
remember,
a couple years.
You gotta be careful what you say to your kids. Yeah. You got to be careful what you do to them, because the last man standing, the one is the one that tells the truth.
Well, it's good that everybody who's listening can also follow up on all this. You have an amazing, an enormous amount of information at theprophetictlight.com. And I admire the fact that you are willing to go clearly on the record and make some defined statements about what you think is going to happen. And I know that when people visit your site, not only can they see what that you are offering, but also you can help people learn how to be more intuitive themselves. So before we have to take our break, is there anything else that you want to tell listeners who want to learn more about you and your work?
Yes, and to give people hope, I know the number one request I've had, people want to know, Aaron, when are you going to put the book out? When are you going to start teaching? In 2012, I will be teaching everyone online how to look at lottery numbers. This is coming for you, and I'm here to help you. It's coming. Pay attention to theprophetictlight.com. Look for the updates there, and I'm there. I'll be there during the bad times and good times. It's all coming up for you. And just remember, you're in the greatest country in the world. This is where the last opportunities exist. Europe, forget it. Anywhere else in the world, forget it. Even in China, they're going to have a soft landing. It's still not as good as it is here. We have got it made. Let's take advantage of what we have before us. Let's work together on this.
All right. Well, very well. We'll keep in touch with you, and as events unfold, you know, I'd love to follow up with you on how these things are evolving and how you saw them. Again, folks, the website is theprophetictlight.com, linked up at speakingofstrange.com. Mr. Aaron C. Hansen, thank you so much for being on Speaking of Strange tonight. When we return, speaking of money, I've got a story to share with you about Abraham Lincoln and money, something new that was just discovered. It's pretty interesting. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange. Final minutes of hour number two on tonight's Speaking of Strange. Coming up next, the Dark 30 Hour, when we dig into some of the more outrageous and controversial news that you might not hear so much in the mainstream media. Not for the kiddies, not for the easily offended. And, of course, I was just talking with Aaron C. Hansen about how things are going to shape up over the next year and coming years. You know, when I debut my live show in Charleston, which is going to be Saturday, January 28th, 2012, at 8 p.m., not only am I going to begin with what I think is the best evidence for the inception of the universe, but we're going to cover the cycles of the universe and lead all the way up to now, looking at the trends and what it most likely means. And one thing that I'm going to offer to the audience are six keys to rebuilding a stronger system of government once there has been some kind of a collapse. And I thought for a long time about this. I put a lot of work into this program. And these six keys are six original keys. They're not politically oriented. They are keys about how to restructure things to build a society that I believe you will agree is not only more pure, but also represents the interest of the people from a very logical perspective. If you get your ticket, and you know, I tell you honestly, it's worth driving a few hours or whatever if you have to go to Charleston. If you get your ticket online, it's cheaper. If we have space at the door, it will cost you more. So go to joshuapwarren.com. There's no period after the P. Also, I've got some pretty wild photos I put up at joshuapwarren.com just last night. I've got, of course, the Chicken Hill thing's been there for a little bit, but I've got some new things that I put up there I think that you'll find interesting as well. But hopefully I will see many of you in Charleston. And, you know, on the radio, yeah, we're restricted to breaks and commercials and all these things. When I I'm in a room and it's just you and me, we can really have a conversation. And I have high hopes for this. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. You know, of course, we were talking about the economy in general, and I mentioned that there's kind of an interesting story that has just come out about Abraham Lincoln. Apparently, it has been discovered that a check Lincoln wrote just the day before he was assassinated has been sitting this whole time in a vault in an Ohio bank. Yeah, and can you imagine, you know, being the guy at the bank who opened the vault and, you know, you're filing through things and you see a check signed by Abraham Lincoln in the vault. It's a check for $800, which was a heck of a lot of money in 1865. And it's made out to self. So Abe Lincoln wrote himself a check for $800 the day before he checked out.
I don't know. That's kind of, you ever watch Pawn Stars?
Yeah.
It's the kind of thing you'd see that would come through the door in Pawn Stars or something like that.
Wouldn't that be amazing? Oh, man. Well, this has happened over the years with, you know, various famous people. George Washington, Charles Dickens, Thomas Edison. But that's, for some reason, it's interesting to think about, like, what he was going to do with his $800 the day before he died. But apparently, I mean, I don't know if this was cashed or I'm not sure what process the check went through. But that's kind of neat. And also related to money stories, here's one from Akron, Ohio. Apparently, a barber was in the process of being robbed. This just happened about a week ago. A robber came into the barber shop and demanded cash from the barber. Now, it's pretty low-level stuff to rob a barber, right? Pulls out a gun, demands money, and the barber said, "You're going to have to shoot me." And because we all wonder what we're going to do in that situation, right? And he says, "Screw you, you're going to have to kill me." And you know what? The robber pulled the trigger. But you know what happened? The weapon did not fire.
Ooh.
Like some kind of miracle. And at this point, the robber just turned and fled with nothing. Now, you can see a misfire happening in the 1800s or something, but that's pretty rare nowadays to pull the trigger on a gun and it not fire. Yeah, you got a few minutes.
No.
What happened to you?
No, I'm not going to say it. But anyway, no, seriously.
I know what you're thinking.
No, I'm not going to tell the story. But, but if you're a barber, it's sort of like bringing a knife to a gunfight, you know?
Well, the barber had plenty of blades, I'm sure.
He did, but yeah, it good for the barber.
That's right.
That's
good for
great.
The barber. Brave man. When we come back, it'll be the Dark 30 Hour, where we dig into the most outrageous and controversial stuff. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's the show where the unusual becomes usual. We call it Speaking of Strange.